The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Parky, I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah, you keep swanning off and leaving me to press buttons, and I'm not sure whether I like it.
I thought you did an alright job in my absence.
I did alright. We had plenty of
interviews.
Held
it all together. You must have had plenty of sticky tape knocking about and pot to glue.
We've also got to thank Steve Manning, like we always do.
He pulled his plums out as well. Pulled his plums out.
For providing, you know, the things that he did. And you got stuck in as well with a couple of interviews.
He's been busy as well, Steve Manning, for this one as well. We're making him work overtime for us, aren't we?
We are. We're going to pay him one of these days.
How's the Super 8s for you?
Underwhelming, really.
Yeah,
got to be honest.
Bit weak.
Bit like a tea. You know, it's just one of those, really.
All the interest is in the qualifiers again.
Yeah.
Thought the first half between Feverson and Leeds, brilliant. Second half, expected Leeds to be too strong for the Fev boys, but good effort from the guys.
I've been saying this for weeks, though. Leeds would get to this stage of the season, all the stars would be back. They'd start playing the sort of rugby which everybody's been expecting of them, and they've been building up to it for the last 3 weeks of Super League, haven't they? It was no surprise. To be honest, that game just wasn't a surprise full stop. You're always going to get an effort from Featherstone on their own midden, because they're a good team.
Their own
team.
What?
Their own midden.
What's that?
Well, you know, it's their own pitch.
Why didn't you just say that?
Because it's a midden.
Are you trying to sound sophisticated because they're in the Super End?
No, I'm not. There's no way about sophistication. I'm not about that at all.
Right, okay.
I can hardly spell it, Adrian. I don't want to get above my station.
Does that begin with an M, by any chance?
You know, I have no idea. But, yeah, Callum Watkins finds international form to run in 4 tries, doesn't he?
He does. Well done to Callum, by the way.
Yeah.
Smiling all the way.
Also, Liam Sutcliffe as well. He's been getting panned all season. They've moved him to full-back. They've got rid of Zach Hardacre for the meantime. And he's starting to really click there, isn't he? 2 tries, 9 goals, 26 points.
Speaking of Zach Hardacre, criticising Wayne Bennett already.
Probably because he knows he's not going to get a selection. I don't think anybody will be ringing him up this year.
How dare you pick Australians ahead of English players?
How dare you? How dare you try and win a trophy for England?
Yeah. Anyway, back to Super 8. Forget Zach Hardacre. He's down under. We don't want to know about that.
Well, he'll be back up here before long, won't he?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but the rest of the results kind of like went as expected, didn't they?
One that did surprise me was the man at Huddersfield got beat by Salford.
See, that doesn't. I think Huddersfield are really, really struggling in these eights.
I think the thing that could be vulnerable, because everyone was talking Hulkington Rovers before the ball was kicked, and all of a sudden the Rovers looked strong with that big win against John Cairns Batley. And all of a sudden Huddersfield look a bit vulnerable to maybe, I'm not saying maybe get relegated, but they could be going head to head with a club, whether it be a Championship club or a Super League club, in the £1 million game.
I've got to be honest, I think both of those clubs that you mentioned, Hull, Kingston Rovers and Huddersfield, look susceptible heading into these sort of stages. But Hull, Kingston Rovers, the good thing about them, they know about this competition, don't they? They were in it last year, they know what it takes. And to be honest, we were picking them out as potentially losing the status last year, and they went 7 from 7, didn't they?
I think they're going to do the same again.
So, you know, they're a good side. They are a good side, especially on their own midden. That's my word for today.
The thing that worries me with Huddersfield is the fact that they made a change in the coach, all right, well within their right to do that, but have they left it too late to make that decision?
It is an interesting one.
They haven't really given Rick Stone too long to get his own ideas in amongst the players, whereas Wakefield made the change early doors and brought in the guy that they brought in, Chris Chester.
Yeah, they brought Chris Chester in.
He literally put his ideas straight in. It's worth the treat. This guy has come 12,000 miles, doesn't really know the players or the club.
Or the competition.
And he's trying to work his ideas. Have they given him enough time?
I had an interesting...
Maybe that's where the problems are coming from.
Yeah, I had an interesting chat with Rick Stone, actually, at the launch event a couple of weeks ago, and he said, Dave, this is like preparing...
Oh, he called you by first name terms.
Oh, I did, yeah. Only after I introduced myself. He didn't know me first off.
Okay.
Nobody knows me first off, Adrian, even though I've been doing this for a long, long while.
What's your name again?
I see, even you don't know me. But anyway,
I don't know myself.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I don't know you. Who are you? Who's like you behind this mic?
Some guy that talks rubbish.
That makes two
of
us.
For a living.
That makes two of us. So anyway, Rick Stone, I was having a chat with him at the launch event, and he said, Dave, this is like preparing for an extended playoff series, but you don't want to be in the grand final.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah, I like that. I like that quote. Didn't actually say it to me in an interview, like, so I couldn't use it. But, yeah, I think I agree with him. And it's a strange one because he's getting used to his club. He's starting to get a feel for the players that he's got there. He's already gone out there and said that he's not 100% sure where Ryan Brierley fits in. Now, considering that Ryan was brought in towards the start of the season, what was it, about March when he left Lee? With great things heralded for him. It's not good when your new head coach already says that he's not sure where you fit in, is it?
When Paul Anderson was the coach, he always said Brierley would be fullback.
Yeah, whereas Rick Stone said
saying something totally different.
Yeah, he said that he's got a lot to learn about fullback play. He's got Griggs back at now, hasn't he? So, but yeah, you're right. They are susceptible. Is it the right decision for Huddersfield? Could they end up being the team that gets dragged into it all?
I hope they do.
Really?
Yeah, because I think to give this format some credibility, a Super League club needs to be relegated.
I think a Championship team needs to come up, be that Lee, be that London.
And that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. A Super League club needs to be relegated.
Yeah, and I can't see it being Leeds.
No.
For the reasons that we've said, and the international players.
I think Hull KR just found the feet at the right time.
Hull KR, the previous experience. Salford shouldn't be there.
Salford are a better team than what their position suggests.
Yeah, Salford shouldn't be there. Simple as. I think they've been harshly treated.
That's why I'm saying I hope Huddersfield do fall through the trapdoor.
So,
And it's payback time anyway, because you remember the early days of Super League. They finished bottom for how many seasons and had the safety of not being relegated?
Well, they did, but then they fought the way back like you would have expected. Funnily enough, in 2002.
Welcome to the final hoots, by the way, on loveforbelieve.com. Special thanks to Radio General for letting us use the studio as well. Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson talking rugby league, or trying to talk rugby league.
Nah, only trying. No, we're just trying. That's it.
But looking at the Super 8, the top four is really interesting because it's not much between the four teams. There's only 4 points between Hull, Wigan, Warrington and the Saints. Catalans, okay, they got the win against Widnes. Is that just papering over the cracks? Have the top four ambitions already gone up in smoke?
I'm not convinced by Catalans, I have to admit, over the last few weeks. I don't think they've got what it takes, but I have been known to be proved wrong.
Whereas Cass, Widnes, Wakefield?
Making up the numbers. They might as well send all the top players out on pre-season now.
Yeah, might as well. Put your holidays, lads.
Put your holidays. Go on holiday. Hang the boots up. No worries.
Yeah.
Although, don't say that with an earshot of Daryl Powell.
Oh, Dennis Birch, they'll thump you.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl in particular, I mean, his Castleford side came up with a thumping victory over Hull.
Yeah.
I mean, that really was a shot in the arm, wasn't it, for the first week of the eights?
Warrington got beat as well, so not a good start to the Super Eights for both of the cup finalists.
Mm. Are they
Is that going to be the theme for the rest of the matches up until when? Because look what happened to Leeds.
I mean, Leeds went on a similar run, didn't they? Where they qualified for the final last year, then lost.
Exactly.
Didn't they? They lost real momentum and then only gained it back again after, funnily enough, they'd won the final at Wembley. So, yeah, both of those. And I mean, both of those coaching staffs, they'll tell you till they're blue in the face, no, it don't matter. It don't matter. We're focused. But we know about human nature, don't we?
Listen, if I was one of them players, I'd be saying one thing to you as the boss. I'd be saying one thing to the fans. But in my head, I'm thinking, Wembley's in 2 weeks, mate.
Yeah, I want a spot. And I don't want to get injured.
And I don't want to get injured. I want a winner's medal.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'll be there in
body. Look good on the mantelpiece, actually, that winner's medal.
I'll be there in body with the kit on, but don't expect me to put 100% into it.
Is this where you need your bigger squads and where you need that rotation for maybe players that haven't played a lot and chuck them in?
They do it in the other big sport in the UK, don't they? Table tennis. Mm. Yeah. Mm. They have big squads.
Athletics.
Hockey, they do it.
Swap teams. I tell you what, local darts team swaps every other week.
We'll stop messing with me. We're on about football, but we don't want to talk about it. Because we're talking rugby league, a proper man sport.
Yep. Not like, tiddlywinks.
Not like girly sport.
No.
Where they fall about.
The proper stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of the semi finals, well done to Warrington Hull FC, by the way.
Yeah, two big results there, weren't they?
Yeah.
Mm, very, very fine.
I mean, two different games, wasn't it? I mean, Hull FC and Wigan game was a more defensive effort. It was a real battle.
It was
proper rugby league that I grew up watching.
I would describe it as no quarter given or asked for, wouldn't it? It was one of those where both sides got stuck in, kicking games. It all came back to how good the kicking games was and who wanted it. And unfortunately, who made the least mistakes? So Dominic.
So I was a winner and loser, unfortunately.
Yeah, you got Dominic Manfredi there, haven't you? He's been solid as a rock all season. Drops a ball that 99 times out of 100 he's going to take, and they come up with a try that ends up winning him a semi-final. The other one involving Warrington, well, I mean, that was just superb attacking play, wasn't it, from Warrington. But strangely enough, Wakefield, although busted, did go in front first, didn't they? But they didn't have the know-how nor the firepower to cope with Warrington, who romped away with it.
That's what I mean, like, in terms of different games, whereas the Wigan Hull one was more defensive, Wakefield and Warrington had more of an attacking flow and feel about it.
Mm. But then again, does that not sum up Warrington? Because that's the way that they
play the
game,
isn't it? That's the way
they
like to play, yeah, and they did dominate it from the off. Even though Wakefield scores first, that was just irrelevant.
Whereas I've said elsewhere, I've been disappointed with Wigan this season. I feel they've been very negative in a lot of the games, and they've just sort of become a real grinding team, haven't they? And unfortunately for them, they couldn't grind enough, and it was Hull who, for me, deserved the victory.
One player who will be looking forward to the final would be Joe Westman. He was in the team that lost for Hull, I've seen, 2011. He's going to be going there against Hull as a Warrington player, and I caught up with him after Warrington seen the challenge of Wakefield. Joe Westman, at the end of the battle, Warrington got to the final, but what a performance it was by the guys.
Oh, a massive performance. I think this week's training building up to it were the best we've had all year. We spoke about what we wanted to do, we spoke about the game plan, and we practiced it all week, and the boys did the job tonight. We dug in, we executed his game plan, and it showed out there. I think the best performance we've had in a few weeks.
The game plan seems to be simple but effective.
It is, but you've got to do it, and you've got to do it well, and I think tonight we did that. We defended really well, we scrambled really well, and we attacked really well. Mm. I think it's good when TS can bring his halves off with 15 minutes to go and be confident we're going to win, do you know what I mean? He gets to bring them off and rest them up a bit, and like I say, it was good for us to be able to do that and build on now for the Super 8s.
Guys were quick out the block, so it must have been a bit of a shock to have conceded first.
No, they're a good team. They're a good team. Obviously, it's not what we wanted, but they're a good side. They had a few injuries today, but we knew what they were going to do, and we'd watched it on video all week, so we had as ways what we had to do to stop them.
Congratulations, what an effort from your boys tonight.
Just got to try, and then the second one were just a great try, and it was a tough one to stop, but I think we executed everything we had to do tonight, and it showed by, like I said, the scoreline.
Tony Simmons just said Wakefield just carried on playing to the end, so fair play to him, but you guys just got on with it and got the job done.
Yeah, we're tough, weren't we? We're tough in that middle. We didn't really give them much, and I think throughout we played with the ball and we executed really well. That's what it was. The game plan, what we had against Wakefield, we executed it really well, and individual players, they're real tough to stop out wide, and I thought that's what we did to win the game, really.
And you saw Percy, how do you feel you went out there?
Yeah, alright, yeah. The first half were real good. It's obviously, it gets a bit tough when you get a bit of a lead and stuff starts, obviously, you know what I mean, you get a bit of a lead, you go by 30 points, and then starts getting a bit side to side and just a few little errors, but yeah, I went well. I'm finally found my rolling team now the last few weeks, and got to be more consistent with it and carry on building my game each week now to this Challenge Cup and the Grand Final, hopefully.
Final's 4 weeks away. You're going to enjoy it because it's against your former club.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've got a lot of mates there. Liam Watt's my best mate, so he gave me a bit yesterday when they won. Yeah, he's into me, and he was saying he didn't know if we'd win and this, that, and other, but yeah, it'll be good to play against my old club. I'm still keep in touch with a few of them, but I want to get the job done and finish it in style.
Unfortunately for you guys, short turnaround, and it's St Helens coming to the Halliwell on Thursday.
Well, that's it. We've got it to do, haven't we? It's one of them. It's shorter than we'd have liked, but I think we've come through game pretty much right, so no injuries, so that's a good thing, so hopefully now get job done Thursday and then move on.
But he never got the job done on Thursday. He really enjoyed his day out against Hull FC. It's always, I imagine, it's a bit weird as a player to be playing your former club in a final, knowing you know all the guys.
I think especially as he was saying there that Liam Watts is his best mate, you know, so it's like mate against mate. It's like state of origin in a way, isn't it?
He's right.
You know, it's one of those. But fair play to Joe Westerman. I think he's come on a bundle over the last sort of 12 matches or so for Warrington. As he mentioned there, he's found his role within the team. He's playing some good rugby league. Warrington are playing some good rugby league at the moment as well, although they work within themselves a little bit against St Helens. But other than that, yeah, I think he'll be looking forward to Wembley, as will everybody else in Warrington.
Certainly everyone in Hull will be as well. They've been snapping up the tickets by the basket load.
I reckon we could see a real sellout for a change.
25,000 in 3 days, Hull FC. So.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, that's a massive club, Hull.
I've always said that, yeah.
It's a massive club. They just need the success and they can go places.
Let's hear from Lee Radford, who opened this interview by saying phenomenal.
Phenomenal, yeah. And it was going to take that to beat them. They're a top side. But, you know, probably one of the most physical games I've encountered as a coach. And obviously to come away with that result was going to take some special efforts, and I felt we got them, you know, right across the board.
There were some special efforts from the forward. Gareth Ellis was immense. Watsy, Scott Taylor, all done a good shift tonight.
Yeah, you know, as good as I've seen. And it's the norm from Gaz now. We sort of come to expect that. But I think how much it meant to them and to Gaz, you know, as well. You could that was just etched all over his performance, I felt.
And Sika Manu as well, down that right edge. They were struggling to put him to ground, weren't they?
He's a deceptively strong man, and you know, the last 3 weeks in particular has been phenomenal for us. And God, we want this form to continue from him because he's been an unbelievable signing, I think.
And when you've got Mark Sneed, who can kick goals from everywhere, was that part of the plan tonight, to get down, get a penalty and take two?
Yeah, look, we decided that when we saw the conditions. I had a feeling the game would be very tight, so obviously, you know, the dew on the pitch and how wet the ball was, we was always gonna try and you know, keep ticking over, that's for sure.
Maher Fanua looked like he got knocked out. He was waving as he came off the stretcher. How is he downstairs?
Yeah, no, he's okay. He's obviously looked a nasty one. He's stiffened up straight after contact, so it's never a good sign. You ask any boxer that's lost. But it's tough, and he was up and about straight after.
And now the focus turns. Three big games before Wembley. You've got 17 jumpers available. You've got a big squad playing for those jumpers, haven't
we
you?
We have, yeah. And, you know, that's a real good insurance for me, that there's going to be some blokes vying for spots and blokes, you know, trying as hard as they possibly can to not miss out on that. Nobody wants to miss out on that. I've missed out on a couple. You know, I've been 18th man on a couple of occasions in my time at Bradford, and you know, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And I'm sure how they play and how they perform on the next 3 weeks will, you know, go some way to deciding which way I go.
And tomorrow will you be sat in front of the telly, or will you be having a relax?
Tomorrow I've been asked to play for Beverley in Scott Taylor's coaching him, and I have put my hand up for selection.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Right, at the start of the Super 8, so round 24 of Super League 21, Parky. Before we do that, Lee Radford said he put his hand up for selection for Beverley. Now, I want to know, did he play?
Yes, he did.
He did play?
He did. He was an interchange number 6.
Wow.
Get that. So
wow.
He would have been spinning the passes out.
Wow.
I wonder how he would have felt, though, because he coaches Scott Taylor, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So how would it have been when he turns up for training, or
and
he
Scott
turns
Taylor
up for the game
to be
day?
The halfback.
Yeah, and Scott Taylor's saying, I want you to do this, Lee. I want you to do
no,
that.
No, imagine if Scott Taylor says, right, I'm going to be the halfback, start passing the ball.
You know, it is.
Lee Radford go, whoa, a minute, you're prop forward. All you do, mate, is catch the ball and run. Don't pass.
What a signing for Beverley, though.
Wow.
I mean, Lee Radford, there's a guy that's got 300, 400 games experience under his belt. I bet he does it just for get rid of a bit of stress, to be honest.
As long as the arthritis holds up, has he got that?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him that next time.
Normally players that age are struggling with the knees, aren't they?
Normally, yeah. By the way, we've got to thank Radio Yorkshire for use of the audio, and in particular Matt Horton, who did the interview there.
Without a doubt, yes. So thank you very much for that. But anyway, back to what we were on about. Wigan got back to winning ways, didn't they? But both finalists, were lost their opening games. But who won the others in the opening round of Super League, Super 8?
Well, you already gave it away, because Wigan, they won pretty convincingly as well. I mean, I've been slating them for their attack all season, but they've managed to pull the tripe out and ended up winning by 60 points to 12 against Wigan.
Probably
Wakefield.
Didn't want an ear bashing off Sean Wayne again.
Yeah, and Catalans, they defeated Widnes. I think we hinted at that one before as well.
Yeah, we just don't like going France.
No.
As they kept on saying on Sky Sports.
Did they?
Yeah.
What, umpteen times?
Can I mention Widnes never lost a game here? No, sorry, never won a game. That's never, that's the Widnes fan thinking.
Never won a game.
Never won a game. Though,
never won a game. Yeah. Oh, well. History's there to be broken, though.
It is.
As we know from time to
it
time.
Is. Yeah. But moving on, away from Super 8, let's talk qualifying next, because that's where the interest is. Big game, Featherstone versus... Leeds Rhinos, forgot Leeds were there for a minute. I think everyone does sometimes.
I think you were pinching yourself that Leeds were in there.
6,500 pat the way into Post Office Road.
The big fella's stadium was
post,
packed.
Listen, I'm traditional. Post Office Road.
The big fella's stadium was packed.
Post Office Road.
Six.
Are we
and
having
half
an
thousand.
Argument about this?
Yes. 6,500. That's something we can't argue on.
No.
And to be honest, attendances like that will really help Featherstone, who up until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they were struggling financially themselves.
Still a community club, and everyone forgets that, by the way.
Very much so. I saw something in a newspaper, actually, which a Leeds Rhinos fan had written, saying that it was the most family-orientated ground that they've visited
wow.
in years.
Wow, okay. They must have enjoyed it.
So, yeah.
I wonder if they've been saying that if they got paid.
Well, possibly not. I don't know, but still... It is a fair effort that, despite, you know, Featherstone ended up on the wrong end of the scoreboard. The first half performance was very good. The Centurions, well, it took them 4 matches last year to get off the mark in the qualifiers. They're off the mark after game number one.
That's a relief
London.
For you, though, isn't it?
It's a relief for me, yeah. Yeah. It's defeating London Broncos 34 points to 30.
But the thing is what worries me about your Lee boys.
Go on.
Cruising. Go on. Cruising against the Broncos.
34-8.
Whatever
11
Andrew,
minutes to go.
Whatever Andrew Henderson must have said worked wonders with the edges on the ropes.
Well, he was standing about 20 metres away from the where I was on the ground, and I could hear most of what he said, actually.
Right, okay.
Up until the last 10
minutes.
Do
share?
Well, no, you can't. It's
oh, is it a family show?
It's a family show.
Oh, right. He was not happy.
He wasn't happy with the way that his Broncos were playing. Yeah, you're right. Lee were in cruise control in that game, right up until the point where Greg Worthington got sent off. Now, him and Jamie Soward ended up having a bit of a set to in the background. And
interestingly, Soward got let off, whereas your guy never.
Yeah, I think it's because the video caught Greg Worthington throwing about 3 punches and it didn't catch Soward throwing one. So, I think it's right. I've got no qualms about the decision that was made by the disciplinary there. I think it was the right one ultimately. But the way that the Broncos then, they thought, hang on, we're not going to go down wondering here. So they started throwing the ball about and they've got a great playmaker there called Appy Peferangi. Make a note of the name. I know you won't be able to say it if he gets promoted
Try
into
and
Super
spell
League.
It A-X.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, great player. 2 tries he scored.
How did Jamie Soward go?
Jamie Soward was a little bit behind, actually. He was behind a beaten pack for much of the game.
Right.
And it was only after he went off that, to be honest, when the Broncos
started playing.
Throwing the ball around.
Right,
you know.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's no doubting that Soward has still got a great rugby league brain. He can kick the ball probably better than 90% of the halfbacks that you see at that level of rugby league. But yeah, you can tell that he's still a new boy, really. But fair play to London. They made a game of it. They made Lee struggle all the way in the end. And I think that the Centurions were pretty pleased to hear the final hooter. I know I was. The other results saw Salford Red Devils defeat Huddersfield 34-12. Perhaps expected that one. They brushed him aside. And Mason Caton Brown, he's really come on to form in these last closing stages of the season, hasn't he? Last few weeks, because he scored a hat-trick over at Widnes a few weeks ago. Scored a hat-trick again. So we've got to give him a good mention.
Tell you what, if Huddersfield lose their next game, they are in trouble.
Possibly, yeah. Hull Kingston Rovers, they defeated John Keir's Brave Batley, 58 points to 18. Hat-trick there for Thomas Minns.
Yeah, it looks like Hull Kingston have got their act together, don't they? And we've already said that Huddersfield could be vulnerable.
But you say it, it's only game one.
I know.
It's only game one. Things could all change this week when Leeds take on Hull Kingston Rovers, Leeds take on Salford, Huddersfield Giants are at home to Featherstone Rovers, and London Broncos have got Batley at home.
Wow, so London Broncos, if they can beat John Keir's Batley, they will fancy their chances.
They will. And then that rolls over to round three, but I'm not going to bring those results, games yet.
Let's talk about the Shield.
Okay. So the League One, or the Championship Shield.
Championship Shield.
Let me just... There we go. Got me notes.
Yeah.
Always helps.
old fashioned on this show, by the way. It's paper, pen and paper.
Pen and paper. Other shows have like good gadgets going on and everything.
iPads
like
and
that.
Everything. We don't.
Pen iPads are more like an eye patch.
I have a pencil.
Yeah, and even that's got no lead in it.
No.
But yes, round one of the Championship Shield wins for Dewsbury against Swinton. For Sheffield Eagles away at Halifax, which was a surprise result in many quarters, 48 points to 28. They really did run rampant, to be honest, at the Eagles. Oldham defeated Workington, 30 points to 16. And Bradford Bulls went on maybe an expected rampage at Whitehaven. Now, unfortunately, all that means to the table is that there's a bit more of a gap opening between Workington Town and Whitehaven and the rest. So at the moment, it looks like Cumbrian clubs are going to get relegated.
Wow, that's
into
not good
League
for
One.
Rugby League for Cumbria, is it?
Definitely not, no.
Both of them in the third tier of Rugby League. But Bradford Bulls, what's happening to them? Off the field, it seems to be falling apart, man.
It does, yeah. I mean, they've signed a good clutch of youngsters, you know, heading forward. Their under-19s have been going great guns, and that's what the club seems to be focusing on now, seeing as at first team level, it's not quite happened for them. Yes, it's a strange one. They've not been good enough this year. I think it's as simple as that, to be honest.
But now you've got the stories happening about what's off the field as well, winding up order against them, players not being paid, rumoured.
They've had two or three of those stories that have come over the course of the season. You're right, players didn't get paid. There was a good 5 or 6 days delay on the money. Mm. I believe everybody is now paid and up to date. So, you know, I'm really pleased about that because there's some good people involved behind the scenes at Bradford.
But you think of their fan base still. It's averaging about between 4,000 or 5,000 a game. They should have been in the Super 8, qualifying 8, not in the Shield.
Yeah, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's where they thought they were going to be at the start of the season. And yeah. So they, I don't know. I think they got the recruitment wrong at the start of the year. They didn't recruit a halfback until like 2 or 3 games ago. So Danny Addy's a fine player, but he can't be doing all that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
yeah, they had all the egg in the basket with Lee Gaskell.
They've lost Lee Gaskell for much of the season. You know, yeah. I think he's back in contention now, but the rumours are that he's on his way at the end of the season anyway. So, you know, they're going to have to find something a little bit different. But yeah, for Bradford Bulls, thanks to their performances in the league and the way that the league has sort of run out, they only needed to win that one game to guarantee a semi-final spot, really, in the Shield.
Oh, okay.
With another 7 games to go. So right. They've done the job that they needed to, but it's the second tier championship that they didn't really want to be going for, isn't it?
No, they're going to be kicking the heels in the championship again.
Yeah. So
and this is from a club that were saying when they got relegated from Super League originally, we're going to bounce back up.
They did. They were very, very confident, weren't they, in year one?
It's going to be 3 years outside Super League. That's a lot of time to make up.
And it's a lot of fans to try and win back if you do get back in the big time as well, isn't it?
Without a doubt.
Mm, so interesting times, I feel, ahead for Bradford Bulls. You know, as far as like Sheffield are going, though, I mean, they've had the first year of
they have
awful times over the course of the season, and it's good to see him back to winning ways.
This is what I mean. You got clubs facing problems off the field in terms of finances and this, that, and the other. And yeah, we're throwing everything to make it a success in Canada. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
And
but
in France,
to be fair, I mean that is coming together. That club in Toronto now, isn't it? They've announced another couple of signings since our last show. I think they've got Dan Fleming going on board from Bradford. They've already announced Liam Kay leaving Lee. Rumour has it there's a few more players still to be unveiled.
Listen, Jared Dane, they turned his back on the Lee offer and gone to Gold Coast. I think they'd have been in for him as well.
You reckon the Haim plane could have been heading off to Canada,
do you? Could have been. That man, the man behind him doesn't know the object of any money. He's just throwing it at him.
Well, I suppose this is the thing, isn't it? Because in previous years, and I don't know how much time we've got to talk about this type
Not
of
long.
Thing. Okay, but in previous years, everybody's had run off different salary caps, haven't they, in the different competitions.
Yes.
From next season, it's 1.85 million or half of your turnover, isn't it? So you could spend, if you've got a wealthy backer and somebody who is willing to stump that amount of cash up, you can spend that amount of cash in your squad. So you could end up with a team that's in League One, for example, spending 1.85 million in theory.
Speaking of League One, the race for, where's the final? It's at Headley, isn't it? No, it's at Widnes.
To be honest, no, I don't think it's been announced where the final's going to be yet.
I thought it was.
No,
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. I've not seen that memo, to be even being fair, Adrian.
I must have dreamt it. But anyway, they looked around three already.
They are, yeah. And the last round of results, is again, this is split into two, isn't it? Because they're going for a promotion playoff.
When you started describing this to me, I got confused.
So in the promotion playoff
Go on,
positions,
then.
Yeah.
Explain it.
Well, you've got Barrow beat York, Rochdale beat Keighley.
Right.
Okay. So that's in the top section of League One.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Then in the lower section.
So it's two leagues in one. Is that basically what you're saying?
It is. They've done their own Super Eights, basically.
Right.
So the top, the top eight are playing off for who finishes one and two to play off against each other for automatic promotion.
Right, go on.
If you lose that automatic promotion game.
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Yeah. Then 3, 4 and 5 place clubs of the eight.
Yeah.
Come into play.
Right.
And then it's straight knockout semi-finals and another final with the winner going up to the championship next season.
I'm confused. Anyway, give us the results.
Okay. Well, I just have done in that section. Okay. But there is like a lower championship shield, which is being played for the Championship One shield. Now, at the moment, this looks like it's going to be a Newcastle and North Wales final. So there was a bit of a warm-up between the two clubs, with Newcastle defeating North Wales by 30 points to 14. Rochdale beat Keighley in the other top one, which I didn't mention before. Oxford had the biggest result in their history so far, 46 points to 10.
Well done, the Blues.
They beat Hemel. And what about this one for a result as well? South Wales got a win against Coventry.
South Wales got a win?
They got a win.
Why didn't that make headline news?
It's made these headlines.
They got a win.
It's made our headlines.
St. Helens got a win, by the way, at Warrington. Like going there, don't they?
They do.
Should we hear from Carl Amor?
Go on, then.
Carl Amor, what is it with trips to Warrington that St. Helens seem to enjoy?
I don't know, mate, to be honest. I think us as a group must thrive in adversity, you know, because, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, it feels like 2014 all over again for us, but, you know, we know we can't get too, we know we can't fall in love with ourselves too much, you know, we've worked really, really hard over the last sort of 2 months and, you know, now we're starting to show results for that, so, you know, we're very, very happy with the win. Another close, tough game. We always knew it was going to be these Super 8s games are that, so obviously it must have been a good spectacle for the fans, and, you know, we really enjoyed the, you know, the tough win against the form side away.
Had to really grind it out in the end as well, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I thought when Jordan Turner scored and with about 5 minutes to go, I thought we should have been a little bit better to see that out, but credit to Warrington, you know, the league table shows that they are the form side, they're the best attacking side in the comp by some distance, so, you know, we know they can score points, and, you know, thankfully tonight that resilience and that toughness and togetherness that we've been working on in our defence has come up trumps once again.
What was said about you being the informed team going into this Super 8s? Were you thinking about that as you went into the game?
No, not at all. You know, actually, I would argue against you and say, you know, that Warrington and Hull are the form side. You know, they've obviously had a bigger run of games unbeaten than us, and they found themselves in a final. And, you know, to be honest, I thought the week off probably came at the wrong time for us, you know, but thankfully, you know, we've had a little break and freshened up, and we've really ripped into each other at training this week, and again, if you keep working hard, the old saying is you're lucky you get in it, so, you know, tonight we've come up trumps.
Okay, close at half time, what was your thoughts at that point?
You know, well, to be honest, I thought we were our own worst enemy, you know, I thought we didn't control the ball very well, you know, perhaps our kicks weren't as good as what they needed to be, but, you know, second half it carried on the same way, but again, thankfully, you know, our defence got us through in the end with a try-saving tackle in the corner, just typified what we were all about, so happy with the 2 points, and on to next week.
On to next week for the Saints, Carl Amor, he's a big lad.
Oh yeah, he's playing some great rugby this season as well, isn't he? I think he was the top meter making forward for St Helens on the weekend. But we were just saying, weren't we, how great has Jordan Turner been since he's declared that he's off to the NRL? He's been fantastic, and the try that he scored, which turned out ultimately to be the game winner, was something else, you know, a little bit special. But yes, that was a good win really for St Helens in the narrowest of fashions.
Without a doubt it was, wasn't it?
Very good.
Speaking of Jordan Turner, how great has he been playing since he said he's going down under?
Hang on, you've repeated me.
Have I?
I've just said that.
Sorry, I was listening
BBC
to Sean Wayne.
BBC 2. Yeah, hang on, we can hear it again in an hour on Dave.
Sorry about that, man. I was queuing up with Sean Wayne.
That's okay, we've got him coming up as well. Sean, shall we hear from him?
Yeah, we're out of time, aren't we? So let's hear from a Super 8's winner's enclosure involving Sean Wayne and Kieran Cunningham. Steve Manning firing the questions when it starts.
Well, Sean, I don't know if it was redemption, payback, or just a damn good professional performance. Your thoughts on that?
I think the last one, Steve, it was just a good performance. And to bounce back from last week, and you know, I heard comments walking in the ground that we need a good performance. I don't think it was that bad last week. I don't think there was much pressure on us. We performed well last week, and I think we just tweaked a bit of our attack, and you saw the evidence of that tonight. I thought some of the tries we scored was outstanding.
And I think part of them, I suppose, you're critical about the, you know, the handling sort of thing. The tip-on pass, which obviously I'm assuming has been worked on, it just didn't come off at times, did it? But
yeah, our completion was 70-odd%, so we're happy with that. You know, to score so many points against a team, they were busted. We're not going to get carried away with it. You know, they're down on numbers, and I know we have been all season, but we're not going to start patting ourselves on the back. We know there's a lot of our work to do. We're going to have a good week this week and get to Casford next Friday and hopefully put on a real good performance where we attack the same we attacked tonight and make sure our D's tough. And if we do that, we've got a chance of winning at Cass again.
And whatever people can say about tonight, the thing is it's up your points difference, because that could be crucial, couldn't it, as well, you've got six games left.
Yeah, I don't get hung up on that, to be honest. A lot of people do. I don't see it that way. We've got a team in front of us of 17 players, very professional. You know, they spend the same on the salary cap as us. And, you know, so we just need to turn up and look after what we're about. And we scored 60 points today, and you know, to do that against a professional team in this era is really, really impressive for us.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Well, Kieran, what a backs to the wall performance, especially in that last 10 minutes where, oh, that last 8 minutes when they threw everything at you again.
It was. I thought it was really courageous. I thought it was exceptionally courageous performance from the players, and, you know, and that probably that never say die attitude, which we're probably building on over the last 6 or 7 weeks. And, you know, the players have been working exceptionally hard, and, you know, even when things weren't going well for them, they was working exceptionally hard, you know. But now when things start happening good for you, you get a belief about what you do, and you get an understanding how good things can happen when you work hard. So the players deserve what they get, you know. They're doing a great job on and off the field. I think they're a credit to themselves and all the families, you know, how they've probably ridden the storm a little bit, and then we've come out the other side, and I'd like to think we're a stronger team for that.
Sometimes the video referee works for you, sometimes it didn't. Was your heart in your mouth before it went to the screen in that last attack of theirs, the winger?
To be fair, I thought we got some really, really tough calls, you know, cause on the running of the game, I thought we got some tough calls, you know, against us, you know, it was really tough calls, and, you know, and you just don't understand how a touch judge stood at the side of the player and then he doesn't do anything, you know. It's blatant to see the kid's foot's in touch, but yeah, if it wasn't a video decision, then he'd give a try, I'd imagine, but, you know, they didn't deserve a try. You got young Percival, you know, chasing his heart out, and Swift running his guts out, and Johnny's flying across there and determined to do something as a group. And Warrington are a good side, and they can score lots of points. You've seen that last week in the Challenge Cup. So I thought for us to restrict them to the points that we did, and in the fashion that we did it for large periods of the game, I thought it's credit to us.
I know you've been talking about, don't worry about, you know, carry on what we want to do sort of thing, but now you're even that closer to the pack now, so it's opened it up again, hasn't it?
Oh, all we can take care of is what we can take care of. That's what we said for lots and lots of weeks, and, you know, that's all we can do. You know, I'm proud of what the boys are doing, and I'm proud of how hard they're working, but we can't look further than next week. You know, we'd be foolish to do that. We can't fall in love with it, and as soon as you start, you know, looking too far ahead, then you fall in love with what you're doing as a group, and you see those effort things knock off, and then you get on the end of some bad results. So next week's our goal. You know, we can rest up now and watch everybody else bash themselves over the weekend. And then we'll start back at work on Monday, and we'll work out, and we'll face a very good and capable Catalan side.
Radio General now has two great channels for you to enjoy while you're here in Warrington Hospital. Radio General on Channel 1 provides our usual great variety of music, information and entertainment across the bedside units in the hospital. It's now joined by Radio General Extra on Channel 7, providing you with an even bigger variety of music 24 hours a day. More great music, more great hits, and much more Radio General. So that's Radio General on Channel 1 and Radio General Extra on Channel 7 of your Hospedia bedside unit.